I'm going to hand the mic over to him, and you won't need a translator because he speaks really good English. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you again, everyone, for allowing a space for all of us that we can grow together in this garden bed that God is building in this church. So once again, thank you so much. I just want to ask my wife, Betty, to pray for me before we can go straight away into God's Word. And it's really good to work together as a family that God put us together with the ministry. And so I just want to ask Betty to pray. Thank you.
Thank you, my Lord, your Majesty, King Jesus. Thank you for blessing us with your word for these past Sundays. Father, your word is a light to our path. Father, we are so blessed that we have the privilege to listen to your word every day, every Sunday. May we grow deeper into your word as you speak to us, Lord, your children. Father, as we sit down before your throne of grace, reveal your heart for your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Betty. Maybe I need translation. Let's pray that God will repeat the book of Acts again, that you will hear his word in your own dialect. Amen? And that is why I believe that God is doing something in this day. I say to your friend, your neighbor that sit next to you, you are in the right place. Amen? So get ready, because we're going to preach this word together. Yeah, I see some of you not talking to your neighbor. You better talk to your neighbor, because you have no choice. When you arrive in heaven, we have to work together. Amen? And you are not going to do it in heaven if you are not doing it here on earth. Amen? So we better start working together from here, because one day, every color, every race, every language will stand before God one day. And so we better start working from down here and start worship together. Because that day, when all your knees will kicking each other, when we stand before the Almighty God. Amen? And so I believe God is doing something right here now. And let's start do our rehearsal here on earth. Amen? And amen. So I really believe God is doing something. And so thank you so much, the eldership of the church, for giving me this opportunity, and my wife and our island brothers, that we can be grow together in his presence and under the authority of his word in this place. So it's really good. Wow. I want you to turn to your friend. Oh, let's say this. Say, get ready that we are going to preach this word together. Amen. Amen. We are going to preach it together. Because when you engage, it's helpful to remember God's word. Sometimes you sit there and just try to concentrate, and when you walk out, you forget everything. But when you start to engage with the message, it's helping to remember the word. And I really believe that. Hey, can anyone read me Acts 29, chapter 29, verse 1? Pastor, can you help me with it? Acts 29, verse 1? Can anyone find 29 there? Amen. That's it. That's a revelation. If you can't find 29 chapter, you are that chapter 29. Amen. I come to affirm, I come to confirm it, that you are that 29 chapter of Acts. Because the Acts of the apostle, it's not the Acts of the apostle, it's the Acts of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's the acts, the Spirit of God that manifests during those times and people put it together. And I really believe the acts is not finished at the 28th. It's continued today, and you are that 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Amen? Whew. Wow. You are that 29. Hey, say to your neighbor, you are that 29. Amen? Because the Spirit of God is still here on earth until the work on earth is done. And God is still doing His work. And He is still breathing life into this earth and bringing miracles after miracles, healing after healings. Because there are teachings today, they say, the miracles and the signs and wonders has been done. But God is still here on earth. Amen? God is still here on earth, and God is still working, and God is still reviving people. God is still bringing people through His Spirit today. And I really believe that God is working. And I want to say, I really believe the Restoration Center is the 29 of the book of Acts. That God is still working today. Amen? Wow. When we agree together, it really starts something in heaven. And God is working through when we stand together and we believe it. And that is why I really believe we are really right there in the book of Acts 29. And maybe Acts 30, 31, and it still continue. Amen. And if someone said, no, the signs and wonders has done, I believe the Spirit of God, the moment Spirit of God left the earth, yes, maybe it stopped. But while He is still here, the Spirit of God will continue do His work and continue to do His work. Well, I feel I want all of us to shout Jesus 3 times. Can we all rise up together? You shout Jesus just like when you shout or you support your original states team when they play. Sometimes some of you drive past and you hear people shout these games, backyard in front of their garage. I thought, man, I wish if that type of shout they do it in the church. And so let us shout Jesus 3 times to the top of our voice. Upon the city, upon your family, upon your situation, I believe when you shout this name, Jesus, deliverance and healing will take place this morning. Deliverance and healing will take place this morning. Let's just all shout the name of this Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! 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 Amen! Amen and amen! Amen and amen. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our day. Hallelujah. Thank you. Be seated. I believe if anyone you need to check your doctor tomorrow, go back and check them because God is doing something in your health, with your health, with your body, with your spirit. This church, since the first time I walked into this place, and I feel like, wow, I will come back again into this church. The experience of the worship in this place, I find it, if anyone you come through the door, those doors, and you walk out from this building, and you are not experiencing any change, I want you to check yourself, something wrong somewhere. Because not allowing the channel to reach you, the Spirit of God is not working in that areas of health and your spiritual walk with the Lord. If you walk out and you're not experiencing anything in your body, because this type of worship, you should experience the healing, the power of God in you. You should experiencing a completeness in your emotion and your spirit connect with Him. But if you walk out and you still don't experience anything, I pray that God will help you understand, God, what is that? It's stopping me not to experiencing you. because this type of worship in this place, when God show up, when God arrive in worship, it's like day of Jesus. When Jesus is in the house, the people come into that house, and until there's no space in the house, and they walk up onto the roof and they break this some place up on the roof and they lower down their friend. When the Lord is in the house, miracles and signs and wonders are happening. Amen. When the Lord is in the house, signs and wonders are happening. Amen. Amen. When the Lord is in the house, demons evacuate by themselves. They say to one another, it's time to leave this place. Amen. When the Lord is in this house, you don't have to tell the enemy. They know the line of authority arrived. Let's evacuate and leave the place. Unless they have some legal rights there and they claim it. But if they just illegally make themselves there, they know it's time to pack up. Let's go from this place. And that's when the Lord is in the house. Wow, say to your friend, the Lord is in the house. My island friends, my island brothers and sisters, tell your friend next, sit next to you. That's it, the Lord is in the house. Amen. The Lord is in the house. Wow. And I'm so honored when the father of the house asked me, oh, can you say something about the worship? And the, okay, I just pray the Lord will give me a word. And I'm thinking into all this, and I really believe God is giving me a word that I can share. And yeah. When worship reaches the highest form and the highest or the fullness of its authority, when the worship rise up in the fullness of its authority, it connects your body, soul, and spirit together. When worship arrives in that place, wow, when the worship arrives in that place, that we all swing along the same rhythm, we all meditate and say the same word, and it connects your spirit, your body, and your soul together. That's very powerful. Amen. Amen. That's very powerful. That's when it turns into not just singing a nice song, a nice good sound, but that worship turned into a weapon of mass destruction. Amen. Amen. When our spirit connect with our emotion, when our spirit connect with our spirit, the spirit of God with our spirit. And this, so often we prayed about God unite us together, but we forget to pray, God unite my spirit, my soul, and my body, that they will agree with what I say, and they will sing along with what the Spirit of God is doing. As soon as we arrive in that place, that song that we just sing, it turned into a weapon of mass destruction. Worship. It's that when we worship, it engages God. We descend into worship, into the throne room of God, and God ascend into a warfare against the enemy that come against your family. Amen. I say to your neighbor, it's time to descend into worship and allow God to descend into a warfare against the enemy that come against your family. Amen. It's time to turn your worry into worship. Hey, say to your friend, it's time to turn the worry into worship. Yeah, stop worrying about things that affecting your family, affecting your health, affecting your marriage, It's time to bring it before God and worship Him and allow God to work. When men pray, God work. And when men work, He continue work. That's someone's statement. So prayer and worship, it work together. When prayer and worship come together, it really unites our hearts. And so I really come to tell you, my friend and brothers and sisters, it's time to worship and allow our worries turn into a worship. Wow, worship. Worship will be your eternal occupation. Amen. Every other ministry will finish here on earth. Hey, tell your friend, my friend, it's time to worship. Solomon brothers and sisters, tell your friends, it's time to worship, because it will be your eternal occupation. When every ministry here on earth is finished, when life on earth is finished, we'll walk into heaven with worship. It will be your eternal occupation. And so I pray that we will start do our rehearsal here on earth. Do it good. And allow God to be engaged. So worship engages heaven. Worship enlarge God. Worship enlist God in your warfare. Amen. Hey, say to your friend, it's time to engage God. Amen. It's time. I'm just trying to summarize it like the book of Acts. Oh, yes, the Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas in prison, they worship, they pray. God arrived there. In the book of Chronicles, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat, they march against a military. Three nations rise up against them that day. They worship. God sent a confusing spirit among the enemy, and they kill themselves. Amen? So it's time to worship. When we worship, you are engaging God into your battle. Amen. When you start to worship, you are engaging God and said, God, I can't do this. I need you. And the Lord show up. And that's what happened with the Chronicles and with Jehoshaphat. Used to be in the history of Israel. Whenever the nation come against the nation of Israel, they will go and hide in the cave. But Jehoshaphat do something no other king did in his life. They come and repent and ask God, God, we don't know what to do. We need you. That's when heaven engages in the life of Israel that day. Amen. So it's time that we can rise up and worship God and engage and allow God to do something in our battles every day. Whew. Amen. So it's time to engage God in our warfare. It's time to enlist God in the battle that you walk through. Or maybe in the situation, maybe a financial situation that you've been through. It's time to allow God come and do something. Worship the enemy. Satan hates worship so much. Satan hates worship because actually he's jealous. You are taking over of his position. Amen. Actually, he is a jobless angel. He don't have any job. And that is why he is so jealous. He is a unemployed seraphim, if we can say that. Amen. Because you were given that opportunity to worship God. You were given that opportunity. He was kicked out from the position that day. And now he look at, wow, that's where I used to be. He hates your family. He hates you so much because he sees you are now taking his position. That's where I used to be. And I pray that God will help us rise up and identify yourself in this new position. You are a worshiper. Amen. We are people that we live and walk and have our being, we're honoring our God. Our God. Satan hates you so much because of that position it's given away. And I pray that God will continue to help us as we worship, as we live and breathe in the presence of God, as we continue pray, and as we move forward. These are just a thought that I put it together, that it inspired me by hearing and reading books, and I find out that, wow, this is amazing when the shades of God come into this place. But this morning I want to share from the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Luke, verses 29. This is an account of, wow, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 21. On the day of the baby's circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus, the name prophesied by the angel before he was born. 40 days after the birth of her son, Mary's time of purification had completed, so she came into the temple with a sacrifice. This is Passion Translation, in case you were wondering what translation is that. Had completed, so she came into the temple with a sacrifice according to the law of Moses. So she married, and so Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to Jerusalem to a dedication before the Lord. For it is stated in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be set apart for God, and he is required to offer a sacrifice, over scribe sacrifice, either a pair of turtle dove or 2 young pigeons, as they came into the temple fulfilled this requirement. An elderly man was there waiting, a resident of Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. He was a very good man, love of God, the lover of God, who kept himself pure. Some translation said he kept himself holy, and the spirit of holiness rest upon him. Simeon believed the imminent appearing of the one who called the refreshing of Israel, for the Holy Spirit had revealed him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Keeping the promise, the Holy Spirit had led Simeon to the temple court at that very moment. Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arm and praised God and prophesied, "The Lord, the Maker, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for you have fulfilled your promise to me. With my own eyes I have seen your word and the Savior you sent into the world, and he will glorify your people. He will be the glory for your people Israel, and the revelation of light for all people everywhere." Wow. The whole nation is under oppression of this kingdom, the Roman Empire, during those days. And the nation of Israel, they kept the prophecy. They know there will be a Messiah will show up and will rescue them. They were looking at the throne, that someone will sit on the throne. But when the Lord showed up, he showed up not in the way they expected him to show up. The Savior for the world showed up. He did not show up in the way that the whole nation was expecting him. The whole house of Israel is under oppression. They were in their own land, but under this difficult government looking after them. And they wish, I believe some historians, they say some family, even they try to prepare their daughter, their son, could be that the Lord will use him to be a redeemer for the nation of Israel. Or could be come through this line or this young girl. But it wasn't happened that way. And when the Lord showed up, this account, oh, the book of Luke, Luke's gospel, writes about every encounter of God. He stated every encounter of what God is doing during that time. And this is one of them. When the Lord answered the prayer of the nation of Israel, he come in a direction where none of them expect him to show up. Amen. How long you been praying for situation in your family? How long you been praying for the situation in the city of Bundaberg? If the Lord answer your prayer and show up in the way that you don't expect him, did you recognize and you will realize that's the answer of my prayer? Or will you miss the answer of your prayer? Amen. We've been praying so much about this city. The city of Bundaberg. So much. You don't know. You know, back in the island, in the Solomon Island, the church where we belong, we pray so much about Bundaberg. People are going on the mountaintop and pray for Bundaberg. Thank God for Bundaberg has sent the gospel into the islands. You don't know. You know, you enjoy your nice comfort in your house. Someone crying on the top of the hill for Bundaberg. Someone is praying for your children. Someone is praying for the grandchildren that you are expecting God to bring her home or him home. Someone. And I believe for us coming into this land again, I believe God is doing something. God is doing something. We are not here to teach you how to pray, but we're here to walk with you and share the tears together and celebrate what God is doing in this land. We come to share the journey together. I say to one of my friends that we pray for her, one of the friends that we pray with her, and I said, my friend, the days of your lonely journey is over. Because God is bringing some black brothers from the eastern side of this country. Amen? Amen? That we will share this journey together. We will cry together. We will celebrate together. We will worship God together. As a family, and expecting great things in the city, and expecting great things and attempt great things for our God, because God is doing something. Wow, this man, Simeon, the Bible stated very clearly, he loved God, lived in holiness, and he waited on this prophetic word. God promised him, you will not die until you see the Redeemer, the consolation of Israel. Wow. Some of us, tell your friend, you are here. You're supposed to be die already, tell your friend. Yeah. But God kept you for a reason. Amen? Amen? Man, some of the sickness, accidents on the highways, some of the things that happened with you, you could have been gone already. Why you are here today? Well, the Bible said this man, God kept him for one purpose, that he will see the consolation of Israel. He will see the salvation of Israel. He will see the glory of Israel. He will see the light for the Gentiles. And before the Lord will take him home. Some of you, God have kept you for a purpose. And make sure you find out what's the purpose that he kept you for. Amen? Make sure you find out what's the purpose that you have kept me all these years for. Hey, say to your friend, the Lord is not yet finished with you. Amen? Yet finished. Amen? He is not yet finished with us. If you feel like giving up, if you feel you are wondering, man, all this trouble with my health, with my issue, all this happening with me. Let me tell you, the Lord is not yet finished with you. Amen. Even if you can walk out from this building this morning with that statement, the Lord is not yet finished with me, I will be thanking God for that. At least that one word you walk out with it. The Lord is not yet finished with you. The best is still ahead. Amen. The best is still ahead. Hallelujah. Wow, this man, the Bible described him. He is holy. The Bible defined his life and stated that he walked with the Lord in holiness. He prayed and seeked the Lord all his days in this temple. Don't allow anyone to define your life. Amen? I say to your friends, stop allowing people defining your future. Stop allowing people to define your life, because God has his word for you. 1 Peter 2:9. We are chosen. We are royal priesthood. And so don't allow someone to speak into your life. Few years ago now in Bundaberg, let me tell you, we used to live in Bundaberg. I worked with Brother Bruce. We worked together in the ministry. And one day, we used to have this TV. I used to stay by myself, look after this house. When the islanders arrived, we tried to connect them with the church's community here. And one day, one of my friends, she always look after the house, Lorraine. She is in an old people's home now. And she come and said, hey, where's the TV? Said, oh, I throw it in the tip. I took it and throw it at the tip. He said, what happened? Said, oh, every time I watch it, it mess up with my head. So I packed the whole thing, took it to the tip, and I throw it at the tip. Oh my goodness. And you know what? We allow this hell vision in our life all the time. The hell vision, it's not the television, it's a hell vision. And it keep communicate to us and telling you what to do and how to dress up and how to live. No, I'm sick of this. Take this and throw it there. Yeah. Amen. Because we allow different people to define your life, to tell you what to live and how to live your life. We don't live our life by what men say and what the doctors and what the media say to us. We live our life by what God say to us. We live our life by what the Word of God say. We live our life by what the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth, the one who has the blueprint for my life, we live our life. That's what we live our life by. By the principle of his word. Oh, I remember when I was in early stage, in my primary level. Actually, I went to school. I arrived at grade 3. I entered grade 4. And that's when I finished. First term in grade 4. What happened is, I went there. On a weekend in the school, the teacher gave us a homework that, oh, go back, we write in the blackboard. Like you guys, it's different. Like you come with a textbook and the kids look there. But back in the island, they copy everything on the blackboard. You write it, take it back with you. So I write this, my homework. It's a mixed fraction for all the kids, mixed fraction. You guys doing mixed fraction in the school? Oh, no. We have this mixed fraction sum in the mathematics, in the education system, in the Solomon. So this teacher said, go back and do it. And Monday morning, everyone have to show up and we'll see how many you correct. And so I come back with it. My work on Monday, the teacher took the book and went, and wow, who is that? And before he took it, he said, oh, how many mistakes you have? It will be your whips. Ooh, maybe it's not good. So, yeah, these 25 psalms end up I don't have anything thick at all. It's all wrong. So the teacher called me from the back of the class up in the front, and okay, stand there, one and two. And this 5 whips or 25 whips, that 25 whips changed the whole of my life. I hold on to my book, I tear it apart, and I throw it to the teacher, and I walk out from the classroom. I never go back into the school again. That's the end of my school. You know, things in our life that define the future of your destiny. And I look back, wow, I could have been a prime minister today now for Solomon Island, but maybe that 25 psalm destroyed my whole future. There are people today in this room that you live by some of the mistake in your life, a big problem in your life, and you look at that, and you always go back to your past, and you think, I want to good. You know, the education system define your life, because one exam you fail it, one subject you fail it in the university, and they say you are no good. But I believe God has a purpose for your life. Amen. Just as He has a purpose for my life. I never dreamed that I will end up in this place. But God, in His blueprint, His plan for my life. So this man Simeon, the Bible say, he is holy and live righteous for God. When the consolation, when God answered the prayer of the nation of Israel, it only took one man and one woman in this context as we read it. They have seen and understand this is what God has prophesied and what the prophets have prophesied, and they foretold about the salvation of Israel will come. I am so afraid and I'm fearful if we, as a people that we come together every morning on Sunday to pray and worship together, when God answered the prayer for the city of Bundaberg and we miss it. Amen. But we will be people that we say, God, we thank you. To God be the glory, great things you have done. We have seen the salvation, and we have seen that God, you have answered our prayer. I pray that every man and woman that we walk into this room this morning, that you will walk out from this building and you will say, yes, I know God has answered my prayer. Amen. We will all say, God has answered my prayer. When the Sunday came, this place will be, we will be fighting with this mic for testimony, because God is answering our prayer. God is answering what we have been praying for. In case God answer your prayer in the package that you don't expect Him to show up with, I pray that God will give us wisdom and discernment, that we will discern it. That's what I've been praying for. He is now show up. Mind you, when Joseph and Mary walk into the temple that day, actually, they are not walking into a business conference. They walk into where all the high priests and every Christians that day, they will get together. And no one recognizes it. Oh my goodness. No one knows except this man who walked and lived holy for God. Pray, worship. God able to open his eyes that day. Simeon identified, this is the Savior for the world. The glory for Israel. And we will say, this is the glory for Bundaberg. The glory for my family. The glory for my business. The glory for my children. God is answering my prayer. Amen. And the light for the rest of the world is now so up. Simeon discovered this secret. Pray and wait on the Lord. Pray. I pray that all of us will come and seek the Lord together in the prayer room at the back there on Friday nights. Whenever you have free time, whenever you have a time that you can spend with the Lord, please come. That let's worship and pray and seek the face of God for the city of Bundaberg. Wow. As we look at this, And as I study and I look at this, wow, it really amazed me. The nation of Israel has been waiting for so long, but they missed the appearance and the show up of God when He showed up for them. Only one old man that see God show up and thank God. Said, God, you can take my life now. I can go in peace. I now see the salvation of Israel, the glory for Israel, and the light for the rest of the world. As I said earlier, some of you, God have kept you for a purpose. Amen. Some of us, God has kept you for a reason and a purpose. That is why you still alive today. And God is not yet finished with you. Well, I would love to finish from this, my sharing this morning. And I want to leave it there with this, that God is yet to show up. The best is still ahead. Amen? The best is yet to come. Hey, say to your neighbor again, the best is yet to come. Yes, you may be experiencing hard time during this year as we come to close this year. But let me assure you and let me tell you, the best is yet to come. Amen? May God bless. Thank you.